We all value intelligence, cognitive intelligence, emotional intelligence, social intelligence. But what about aesthetic intelligence? Why don't we ever talk about that? And what even is aesthetic intelligence? Join Pauline Brown, longtime luxury goods leader and founder of Aesthetic Intelligence Labs, as she invites her friends from the worlds of fashion, beauty, and design to discuss the power and purpose of aesthetic intelligence.
We live in a world in which people clearly don't need more stuff. If anything, we're all trying to get rid of stuff. But there is something we all still very much need, and that is to feel alive, get inspired, discover new ways to express who we are. All that emanates from aesthetic intelligence. It's one of the few things left that doesn't rely on technology, and that's why I call it the other AI.
For more on the power of the other AI, here's Pauline Brown.
Hello, welcome back to the other AI. This is Pauline Brown. I am very excited for today's show. And for a variety of reasons, I often take on topics that I think a small portion of my listeners are intensely interested in. And I hope that a large portion of my listeners are at least moderately interested in. Today's topic, though, most of my listeners will be extremely interested in, because it's a big topic. It's one that in all my years on air at SiriusXM, this goes back to 2017, I have never discussed this before. Obviously, it touches on business, because everything I do does, but it is a much bigger topic than even the business of what we're about to discuss. So I'm gonna give it a cute kind of umbrella brand to the show. I'm gonna call it the dawn of the femtech revolution. What the hell does that mean? I actually stole that from McKinsey. So the specifically what we're going to be talking about is the wide issue of female health, and even more specifically, female sexual health. And we'll be discussing it from the vantage of two women, each of whom are not only experts in the field, but they've both built businesses in very recent years that are addressing those issues. And we're going to be talking about the issue of women's health and women's sexual health, not just in the usual frame of maternal or reproductive health, but about conditions that don't get talked about even as infrequently as reproductive and maternal health do. We'll be talking about menopause. We'll be talking about later in life health issues. We'll be talking about sexual function and dysfunction that women experience. So let me introduce my two guest experts. They're both dear friends, and they are meeting each other for the first time. I hope it is the first of many times they will interact. So Sally Mueller is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Womaness. And before I even tell you what Womaness sells, let me tell you its motto, because it's so clever and it says it all. Its motto is menopause, meet your match. And what Womaness sells is a product line, a rather extensive one, of skincare, of supplements, of feminine care, and it's all targeted, all of those products, at the 50 million women in America who are going through some stage of menopause. Interestingly, Sally did not spend her entire career in the world of women's health. She comes from the world of branding, as do I, so that's one of the ways we originally connected. She has been the chief brand officer for several different brands, but she also spent over two decades at Target, where she held senior roles in marketing and merchandising. So this woman knows a lot about branding and a lot about women shoppers. Hey, good to have you on the show, Sally.
Oh, thank you, Pauline. That was such a great introduction. I'm so excited to be here.
Really excited to dive in to a topic that I ought to know a lot more than I do. Toby. So Toby and I also go back a couple of years as friends. She comes at the issue of women's health from a very different vantage. She's a medical doctor, and specifically she's a urologist. She is the director of female urology at Winthrop University Hospital here in New York. But also, very interestingly and innovatively, she co-founded a center here in New York in Lake Success called Tideline Center for Health and Aesthetics. And Tideline is a focuses on a number of areas related to women's health, including hormonal therapies, feminine rejuvenation, and intimate reconstruction surgery. So I want to hear more about that. So this is a medical doctor turned entrepreneur of sorts. And Toby has her chair medical degree from New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center. She was a resident at NYU here in New York and an undergrad at Cornell. Good to have you on the show, Toby.
Thank you so much, Pauline. I think this is a long time coming. We had discussed this over a year ago already.
We discussed this before you opened the center. And I said, yeah, as soon as you're ready, I need you on the show.
Exactly. And it, every month, I would say it's almost there. And finally, I think if anyone saw the place that we have developed, it's beautiful, it's private. And I'm just very excited to finally have a place to take care of women, you know, where they feel comfortable talking about their most, you know, more intimate private issues. And Sally, I'm really excited to hear from you and what you have to offer. I think this is a new age for women, you know?
Absolutely.
I hope so, which is why I stole that McKinsey line, dawn of the femtech revolution.
I love it.
And I think it's more than femtech. So let's start with you, Sally. So as I mentioned in the intro, you have this long and really impressive career in retail and branding. You are touted for having brought in all those collaborations to Target, which was revolutionary in its own right back in the day. And you decide some years ago that you're going to go on a different path, and not just as an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur in an area that's pretty underrepresented and untapped. So tell me, how did you arrive at womanness?
Well, thank you. You know, it was really based on my own personal experience through menopause. So as I was approaching my late 40s, I knew that I was in menopause. I knew enough that, you know, 12 consecutive months without a period means that you're in menopause. But I didn't realize menopause was more than hot flashes. And here I was really suffering from low libido, vaginal dryness. I'm sure Toby will get into some of these symptoms that so many women experience. Sleep issues, night sweats, you know, nothing that was severely uncommon, but it was just, you know, so many women go through menopause and really don't realize that all these symptoms can be related or are related to menopause. They just think that maybe it's stress or a variety of things. And that was me. And I ended up finally taking, you know, the kind of the reins on the situation and met with a doctor at the Mayo Clinic. And she was very knowledgeable about menopause, made me feel, you know, very educated about it coming out of the appointment and not alone in the whole process. But the kicker for me was she gave me a list of products that I was to research online. And I did that when I got home. And that's when I had my aha moment of, wow, I should really be tackling this space. You know, I have been focused on brands for millennials and fashion and beauty and all these different, you know, I would say consumer segments that weren't really reflecting my needs. And I was so excited about this opportunity and became even more excited when I learned so much more about just the overall opportunity. You know, with 50 plus women going through menopause just in the United States, it's a really large market. And there really wasn't any leading product line available, easily available to help women. So that was really, for me, the big white space was really, you know, developing a line of product that addressed the major symptoms, that was really, you know, accessibly priced, available in major retail. And that's what I set out to create along with my co-founder, Michelle Jacobs. So
Well, one thing I read, which astounded me, is that women spend more than a third of their lives in peri or post-menopause. You know, we're living longer, obviously, and peri starts well before actual menopause. And it just strikes me, and by the way, Toby, this is where you're going to come in. Only one quarter of that population here in America actually seek treatment, which is also crazy. If you think about like the number of women suffering in some form of silence. I guess my question, and I'll turn this to you initially, Toby. You're a urologist, which I think of as more of a male-dominated medical practice, medical area of practice. Tell me if I'm wrong. And you know, so you're right there in a minority. But yet you had a very successful business working with mostly male partners, I'm assuming, in other urologists. And what was the decision factor? What was the what precipitated your deciding to open this center?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is that particular reason that, you know, being a urologist, I was able to offer all this, you know, these treatments and products and hormones to men all the time. You know, everyone knows Viagra and Cialis and, you know, hormones. And when women came, first of all, I agree with what Sally said, as well as you're like, they didn't even want to talk about it sometimes, like in terms of like pleasure. You know, they didn't feel like maybe after a certain age, they could have any pleasure anymore. So, you know, I had to bring it out when I see my female patients. And being one of the very few female urologists, I think we have a large group of male urologists. There's only two of us that are female, and that's Dr. Girardi, who I'm co-partnering with. I see mostly female patients. I see about 80% female patients. So I had so many of these women come to me, and I felt like I could really not offer them much. I mean, thing that I would be offering them is some hormonal cream, which helps. And, you know, I still think that's a very important part of, you know, keeping that tissue down there healthy. But besides that, you know, with the taboo on giving perimenopausal or postmenopausal women hormones, you know, I was hesitant to do that. I mean, we didn't have a lot of, other treatments that we do now, like, and I'll go into it if you'd like, the Mona Lisa or the Thermiva, that, you know, increase the tissue health and lubrication down there. So I just thought it was time that, you know, that I could just offer more things for women, because, you know, women have probably more issues than men do perimenopausally, because their hormones drop precipitously. You know,
Let's actually talk about the center for a moment, okay. Because some of what you offer is very specific to medical practice. And some of it, I mean, some of sexual health is in psychiatry and in self-esteem. So there's an aesthetic component. So do you bring in multidisciplinary experts? How do you approach that? It's sort of the full body of a holistic take on what is a very complicated set of issues.
That's a great question, because you're right. Sexual health is multidimensional, and it doesn't have to be necessarily that your hormones are low or that, you know, the tissue is thin, but it could be, like I said, psychological, your relationship, how you're feeling, what you're eating, exercise, your medical history. But so we do have a Dr. Powers. She's a gynecologist, so that we have, if there's anything that needs to be biopsied or done, that she's there with us. We do have pelvic floor therapy that we offer. I don't do it, but we send her someplace, and they could actually come to the center, or, you know, tense, like spastic muscles in the pelvic area. And at some point we will maybe bring in like a sexual therapist.
I want to come back to, some of the things you've mentioned in passing, including Mona Lisa, which I don't know what that is. I know I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. So I want to come back to that. Starting though, with your product line, Sally. So Talk to me about how, you know, because there are other products on the market. They are not as beautifully branded as yours, and probably not as thoughtfully architected in terms of how the line comes together. But mm-hmm. what were you looking to do differently? And where do you come in terms of, are you offering something that has never been offered before? Or is this more of about breaking through on education and on sort of experience?
Yeah, I mean, we formulated our product from scratch. You know, we didn't white label any product, and we really leaned into clinically proven ingredients, especially with our skin and body products, as well as our supplements. That was very, very important to us. So, you know, for example, one of our top products is called Menopause, which is really for kind of that powerhouse menopause issues such as night sweats and brain fog and hot flashes. And pycnogenol is the leading ingredient in that supplement. And, you know, that's really distinctive in the market. And it has like 40 years of clinical studies. So again, what we're proud of is that our full line is made with what we call clean formulations. So obviously we have a very strict no list. We've also removed any soy. We don't use any estrogen. And that's really because we want to be really that almost like that first line of defense for women. You know, if you have more severe symptoms, obviously we support hormone replacement therapy. And as Toby said, vaginal creams can be very helpful. But most women do want to have some sort of over-the-counter solution. And so what makes us really different is A, that we're a total solution, B, that we've used clinically proven ingredients in our product at efficacious levels, but our formulas are clean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you benchmark a lot of what's out there, A, you have to kind of curate your own solution. And then B, not everything is made, you know, with clinically proven ingredients, and they're not made with clean formulations. So from a product standpoint, that really makes us different. And then we're very accessibly priced. You know, everything is under $40. Mm. So very, very affordable for most women.
So I have a question for both of you. And I don't know, Sally, maybe you want to take a first stab. Why do you think it's been so long coming? I mean, it isn't like this is the first wave of, you know, female empowerment, although
right.
It's a new wave that's sort of happened in the last 10 years. What's been the block?
Well, I think it's just, and, you know, I'm sure Toby will have an opinion, but I think, you know, it's so long standing. Generations that, you know, are older than Gen X, the boomers and beyond, really didn't talk about menopause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know my mom's in her 80s, and I would ask her for her advice, and she would say, you know, I probably didn't even go through menopause, wink, wink. And so that just continued to carry down and pass through generations. But I think it's really the dawn of the Gen X generation. And this is a generation that, you know, a lot of the women are working, they went through fertility issues, perhaps, and they're really taking, you know, their own health in their own hands, and they are demanding answers, and they're talking about menopause more. And I think it will only become a much bigger topic as the millennials age into menopause. So, you know, I think it's just such a generational inflection point that's really causing this to really become more of a topic of conversation.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say, what do you see or anything to add to that?
I agree with Sally. I think that, you know, I have four teenage daughters, and they talk about everything. I mean, they keep nothing, you know, secret, and which is nice. You know, I feel like they're very open. They feel comfortable. They feel like they want to have pleasure and enjoy themselves. And it's such a difference than I see in my post-menopausal patients, like the older generation, where, like I said, I don't think they would ever even say that they've had an orgasm, you know, and that they, you know, and not all of them, but a lot of them would be very embarrassed to talk about it. You know, some will say things like in passing, like, is there anything that I could do when, you know, for like, you know, lubrication, or my husband, you know, it's wants a little bit more, you know, intimacy from me, but it's a little uncomfortable. And then, you know, I'll start asking questions. And if they get more comfortable with me, then I'll, of course, I'll offer, you know, some solutions. But I think that the more they see it on like blogs or, you know, on television, or they hear it from their children, I think they'll be more open to, you know, become more comfortable with their bodies and feel like they should enjoy themselves, you know, and it shouldn't be painful.
Go ahead.
I'm saying a lot of it is not, doesn't have to be even vaginal, right? I mean, it's with postmenopause, it's you're tired, you can't sleep. You know, it's also what your body's going through. So like Sally said, the supplements can help. The, you know, if they want bioidentical hormones and we discuss the risks and benefits, we could give them that. So there's definitely, it doesn't have to all be sexual, but, you know, there's just so many different things that could help women just feel better after menopause.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking about the question I posed, which is why, for the size of the market, you know, has it been such a silent syndrome? And, you know, I'm going to connect a couple dots here, but I was watching the Oscars several days ago, and I'm thinking of Michelle Yeoh's comments when she won Best Actress. And among other things, I would say two things. One, she says, you know, for any ladies, for anyone out there who ever tells you you're past your prime, you know, and, you know, and I'm thinking, of course, about that crazy comment directed at Nikki Haley that she's past her prime to run for office.
Right.
She's like half the age of some of the current politicians. So I think there's some of this has been male driven, that, you know, it's sort of part of, for women, they've been told they're invisible. So they, you know, it's one thing if you have a problem that must be fixed, like a cancer that must be removed. This is not something that must be fixed, but it can be. And I think women are taking back the quality of their life. The other thing I was noticing while watching the Oscars is the women who are, you know, 45, 55, 65 look so good. They look so good. And I think, you know, people at the Oscars always look great, but a generation or two ago, the women didn't age as beautifully as many of them are now. And the technologies to make them look great and desirable and young, or elegant or graceful or whatever they're aspiring, are there. So now it's just like, it's another part of our body that, you know, can go hand and, you know, can stay in lockstep with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we always say this is the healthiest, wealthiest, most active generation today that's going through menopause. And when you think about a 50 to you know, average age is 51 going through menopause. And these women in every city across the US and every urban suburban, they're beautiful. I think the beauty of the, you know, the Oscars too. I think women are taking more time to invest in their self-care. They are more active. They have more disposable income to spend. And they want to invest in feeling better. And so I think that a lot of, you know, I think that's also what's happening. And that's the why there's this inflection point and this tidal wave of change that's happening, because they aren't old. And, you know, I mean, we have customers in their 70s that still are super curious. And I'm sure, Toby, you have patients in this age group too. And they're investing in themselves. And I think we're at the top of our game, you know, and we have so much more to give back. And I think in the old mentality was, well, you can't have children, then you're past your prime. And that's, we are absolutely dispelling that. And I think women are proving that that's absolutely the wrong mentality.
Yeah. I think this could be like the best time in our lives, you know, in our 50s and 60s. We know so much more about ourselves. We feel comfortable in our own skin.
Right.
You know, we have a lot at our disposal now to, you know, in terms of what we can use. And, you know, it's okay to say, I want more and I want to feel pleasure. It's, it's okay. And we should.
Well, so I have so much more to ask each of you. We have to take a quick break, but when we're back, I actually want to talk about some of these tools and procedures, Toby, that you can do to give women more pleasure or in some cases even to do away with pain and discomfort that we have probably accepted for millennia. I also want to talk to both of you about the experience as businesswomen of getting these two innovative companies that we're talking about off the ground, about the investment process, about managing it, about targeting your customer and getting them in the door. It sounds like there's no problem keeping them once they're there because they recognize the power of what you're doing. But let's talk about the business of women's pleasure and women's health. So stay with us. You are listening to The Other AI. We will be right back.
We now return to our conversations on The Other AI with tastemaker Pauline Brown.
Hello, welcome back to The Other AI. This is Pauline Brown. I am here this hour with two fabulous women. They're both entrepreneurs and experts in women's health. Sally Mueller, who's a co-founder and CEO of Womanous, which is a extensive line of products geared toward women going through menopause. And a Dr. Toby Handler, who is director of female urology at Winthrop University Hospital. She co-founded a brand new center called Tideline, which focuses on feminine health issues. So let's start with you, Dr. Handler, Toby. Let's talk about Mona Lisa, which you referenced earlier in the show. I have heard of it. I don't know what it is. But I know that it's a big deal and it's trending. That much I know. Tell me about Mona Lisa.
Sure. So Mona Lisa is a treatment for, it could be for vaginal dryness. It could be for dyspareunia, which is painful intercourse. It's a laser therapy, CO2 laser therapy that's done into the vagina. It's about a 5 to 10 minute treatment that generally we recommend getting it every 6 weeks for a total of 3 times. And what it does, it increases the vascularity of the tissue and it also enhances tissue growth, collagen growth in particular, elastin and lubrication. So it helps with postmenopausal women, but it also helps with, you know, women that just may have painful intercourse due to childbirth, you know, if they've had hysterectomies, scar tissue, radiation therapy for some reason, if they've had, you know, endometrial cancer and had radiation, it helps with all that.
I'm assuming, tell me if I'm wrong, that insurance does not cover this.
You're right. So,
and is that an issue? Do you think there's some discriminatory process in the coverage?
Well, I do. I do think that a lot of these things for women are not covered. And it's a shame because there's so many women that need this treatment. And like I said, a lot of it is due to medical therapy sometimes, like radiation or surgery. Mm-hmm. But you know, with the FDA, you know, has accepted it, but they haven't approved it for that use. And if they don't approve it for that specific use, then they don't cover it.
And what about another term that I hear, and I'm not very clear on, is labiaplasty, which is surgery. What is that?
So labiaplasty is just like what it sounds. So the labia, if the labia is asymmetrical, or, you know, women have labia minora and labia majora, and there could be a little extra skin, especially with laxity when women get a little older. And it could be very uncomfortable with when they're wearing tight pants, or depending on what type of, what they're doing and what job they have, if they are in the, exercise field, like even younger women, if they feel like it's very uncomfortable, then we could, do something called labiaplasty, which will make the labia similar size. And sometimes we could even shorten the labia. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that, we have a long discussion with the patient, and we show them photos and see in it and find out what's bothering them and what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Dr. Girardi, who's my co-founder, she went to Dr. Alan Saad in California, who is the major doctor there in California that does all the labiaplasties. And she did a couple of weeks with him. So she got a lot of great experience. So I do defer the labiaplasty to Dr. Girardi. Mm-hmm. But if, we could do a consultation for, anybody, even on Zoom, if they want. So it's more.
The other area I was going to say that has been very controversial was only 10 years ago or so that it came out, the dangers of hormone therapy. And now they are saying the dangers were overstated in that particular study, but there was sort of an immediate stop and women had been on some form of hormone therapy postmenopausal for years. Where do we net out today on that? How do you advise your patients?
That's a great question, because I still get that a lot from patients saying, I hear that it's going to give me breast cancer, or uterine cancer. I don't want to even touch hormones. And unfortunately, the papers, I think they were in 2002 and 2004, they did not take into consideration the age of the patients, when the hormones were started, like where they started right within the 10-year period after menopause, what the formulations were, what the how they were given, was it pills? So there were a lot of variables. And basically, they said it's not safe, because there were some instances where breast cancer was detected in the group that was taking hormones. There were a higher amount of women that were getting breast cancer in that group, but it just wasn't done properly. And it was only a 5-year period. And now, even after those studies, they did other studies that showed that taken, safely and being monitored by doctors and checking the hormones and doing breast exams and pap smears, it's actually healthier to take these hormones in terms of uterine health and cardiac health and bone health. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate. And all these women that were on hormones stopped, and they felt terrible for years. Oh. So definitely a disservice to women. But now that we're realizing, if you're doing it responsibly and you're being followed carefully by your doctors, that you could derive a lot of benefit from it. Yeah, I know absolutely. A lot of the hormones should be started or in that window of within a couple of years after menopause. I don't know if Sally, you've heard this too, but that's a safe time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really good literature on our blog. So if you go to womanist.com, there's some great articles about HRT, but it really reflects, Toby, what you're saying. There's been so much misinformation out there and like decades and decades and generations passing down of, this fear that is not necessarily justified. So it's been doing women a disservice for way too long.
So, Sally, I want to actually talk about your inflection point. Where you mentioned at the beginning of the show how you pivoted and became a late in life entrepreneur among the largest company, one of the largest companies in America for so many years. And what's been your experience in everything from you have investors in the business?
Yes.
You're women run, women managed. So it's a women, I think entirely female team, as I recall.
Yes, it is.
And obviously an entirely female target. But what kind of reaction are you getting? Where have there been any either positive or negative surprises in the process?
Yeah, I mean, I think what, you know, we've actually raised money 3 times. We're in the process of raising our third round. And Michelle and I, you know, self-invested to get the brand off the ground. We took it all the way to right before launch, and then we raised a pretty substantial seed round. And what was really pleasantly surprising to us is how many men supported us. And, you know, we like to dispel that myth that men don't understand, you know, the business side of menopause. And, you know, we found that most men were super passionate about it. And I think for various reasons, either they had a wife that was going through it, so they could personally relate, or they just felt like it was time to address it from a business standpoint. And they were really excited about our whole business concept. So I think that's what's been really exciting, is to be able to tell that story, that both women and men have supported us, both, you know, obviously everyone from male, female angel investors to VCs that are both run by men and women. So it's been a really pleasant, I think, surprise and journey through that process. Still not easy. You still have to meet with a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of funds before you land on the right, on the, you know, the right ones where there's alignment between the two companies. But it's been, you know, a really rewarding experience.
And what about getting attention at the point of purchase, which is the retailer? How has been your experience in essentially trying to create a new category out of a category that's been around but not very well defined?
It's such a good question. And I know Pauline and I both have worked in retail. Mm-hmm. You know, the retailers have really tried to figure out how to create this whole section. Like, is it a menopause section? How does the consumer want to shop for these products? And the answer is they really do. I mean, based on our research that we've done with our customer, because we have a very engaged community and women are telling us all the time what they're looking for. And they do want a section in the store. You know, they want it to be possibly part of a women's health section. So I think that's the big change, is they don't want to go up and down every aisle seeking out and curating their own solution. They really, you know, are excited that we're offering a total solution, but they really want this whole section that wouldn't include just our brand, but other complementary brands in that space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're at Ulta Beauty. So for example, they pulled us all together in one location in the wellness wall. So that's really been a win for us, because I think finally women are noticing that menopause is like an important issue, right? And it's no different than, you know, thinning hair or, you know, these different need states that they're going into their local retailer looking for product to help them.
Mm-hmm. Another question. I'm going to direct this one to you, Toby. You know, I'm a little sensitive to the fact that we're 3 white women, and, you know, we're in a similar sort of socioeconomic, and we're, you know, let's just take like Black women. I know from my experience in skincare and hair care from my years in the beauty industry that, you know, Asians, for example, have a different skin chemistry than Caucasians. And the products that work and are typically formulated in Korea and Japan aren't necessarily ones that translate as well for other ethnicities. Has this been studied? And do you have a point of view of different issues, not just cultural, but even biological, that hit different women at similar stages?
Yes, good question. And I bet Sally probably has more to offer that in terms of the skincare products and what she finds. In in terms of the treatment for me, I mean, you know, I do see in my office, I do see, you know, women from all ethnicities, and they pretty much at some point after menopause complain about very similar things. And what I offer them really help most women. And what I'm offering them at Tideline, again, I think it's not going to be much of a difference, but it's something to look at in terms of what, how open they are, and in terms of, you know, what they feel comfortable, you know, talking about and seeking. But what I offer is pretty much the same to all different types of women. But that's a very good question, Pauline, that we would probably
have. I know. I'm also even thinking, and there probably is a bigger cultural issue here. You speak fluent Spanish. You're half, actually, Latin American. I think your mother was Argentinian.
You remember.
And, you know, there are different cultural issues and probably different comfort levels, you know, in different communities with talking about sexual wellness, with looking to doctors. Absolutely. I mean, I remember years ago, I had an issue when I was in my 20s. It wasn't a life, you know, life-death issue. And I ended up going to a Chinese doctor who recommended, she's like a acupuncturist, and recommended some sort of god-awful tea that I had to brew and like hold my nose and try to drink. And actually I think it restored my equilibrium. But how do we know? This is, again, a question for the two of you. There's so much quackery out there, you know, and sometimes it's not even quackery. It's just, you know, non-scientific theory about, you know, and you don't know what to believe and what not to. And everyone seems credible when they speak with confidence. So, like, Sally, what have you learned along the way? What should we dispel in hearing messages that, you know, might not have any scientific credence?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to do your research too. I mean, I know our customers are very savvy about ingredients. They've done their own research. That's why we are very transparent about the ingredients. And even in our supplements, you know, we have the drug fact. There's a fact, you know, sticker right on the back of our supplements. So you see exactly how much of each ingredient we've put in our supplements. And there's no like mysterious complex. It's just the ingredients. It's very simple formulations and they're tried and true. And we know that they work. And we're investing in clinical studies as well, our own clinical studies. So it's really important for the consumer to research and research the company, research the products, research the ingredients. And if it's difficult to really understand the efficacy, then, you know, I wouldn't recommend buying it. I think there's better products out there. Obviously, we stand behind our line and have invested in such fantastic ingredients that we know work and in clinical studies. But it's really, I understand, I empathize with the consumer because there's so much product in the market and it's always just a little mysterious if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking for product, but I think it goes without saying even, you know, services, right? And practices that are out there. It's really important to do your homework and talk to, you know, talk to others that may, you know, friends, your whole network, and ask them too if they've had a good experience with, you know, a service or a doctor as well.
Yeah, I agree with Sally. I think a lot of my patients come to me with, you know, things they buy online, whether it's like a, you know, an ointment or a pill. And a lot of times I don't even see the ingredients on the bottle. And that gets me a little suspicious. And I can't tell them to take it unless I know that. And I also go a lot by what patients tell me. Like if they say I use this and it worked well, in terms of my treatments, I go my patients tell, you know, I'll go by what, how they're doing. And if I do a couple patients and I don't see any results, I'm not going to offer it to someone else who has similar issues. You know what I mean? So I will make sure that I'm giving it to the right patient population and candidate. In terms of if someone wants to speak to a patient, I have plenty of patients that will say, listen, I'll speak to someone who's interested and go over with them exactly what to expect and you know, how it helped me. Mm. And I think other patients a lot.
Yeah, and we do a lot of we even do one-on-one consultations too at Womaness. So if a potential customer or existing customer has questions, you know, I'm available to answer their questions too. I just think customer service is so important in the business Toby and I are in, obviously. And it's just, we have a responsibility, right, to help women. So we're all wanting to invest the time and the information so that women are not wasting their time and money.
Mm-hmm. And because it is such a personal nature, the service and the products you're selling,
right?
That women to women gives, I think,
absolutely
trust. Yeah. So I have an aesthetic question for each of you, and it's also a business aesthetic question. So, Toby, you mentioned earlier when you were opening your center, you know, you and your partner really wanted to make sure it felt right in terms of the layout, in terms of, I'm sure, the, you know, design elements. So what were some of the decisions that you made for somebody who, which is most people out there, our listeners who haven't been there, you know, how did you create a space that felt right to you aesthetically for these services?
Right. Well, you can look online or come by with, you know, that would be the best bet. But we looked at more like colors that, and you know, it's tideline. So it's more of like, you know, the water and a lot of the blues. We have, you know, just a nice, some nice smells and some nice lighting. We also don't have a lot of patients come at the same time because I know they want their privacy. So we try to stagger it. So they are private and there's a lot of different rooms that they could be. We make sure that they're very comfortable. You know, we give them some nice, comfortable robes, and you know, it's almost like a spa that they feel like they're just like being taken care of, you know, and they could just relax for a little bit and take a little time out from their busy workday and get pampered a little bit as well.
Nice. And Sally, in thinking about your brand as a longtime chief brand officer, what were the elements, the design elements you wanted to bring forward to bring this conversation to life?
Yeah, well, we, much like Toby, we wanted to really show our respect for this woman. I mean, when you think about how outdated most of the marketing was directed to women like us, right? I mean, it's the whole package. So we really focused on respecting her, you know, in terms of packaging, making sure that the product looked great on her vanity. You know, it wasn't necessarily something she had to put away. And how do you make, you know, go-go liners or incontinence pads look beautiful? You put them in a beautiful packaging. So not only does the product work, but it's surrounded with just this beautiful veneer. And I think Toby said something else that really resonated, which is this whole sensory experience. So thinking about everything, right? From the visual to the smell to the texture and just everything about the brand really has to, you know, has to come to life in a very interesting, multidimensional way. Mm. And she's, you know, this consumer is so discerning that in our world, she's bought a lot of product. So it really needed to stand out on many levels.
Mm. Mm. Interesting, because I think one of the things, you know, that I'm hearing as well is that the aesthetic should be appealing and comforting, but also transparent, you know. Right. And this is a category, and I'm even thinking of, and it's a bit of a stretch to make the connection, but like a Victoria's Secret, which, you know, was all about sort of the male fantasy and the bombshell, the unrealistic bombshell, but even the idea that there was a secret that it was this woman's secret, did sort of a disservice to play into this narrative. Yeah. That it was not something you should feel too proud or of being sort of seen going into. So I think it's sort of we've moved past the days where any of this should be, you know, a well-kept a woman's secret.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's a modern, you know, I think we're all taking a modern approach to it.
Sure. So Sally, you know, you have this amazing brand name, Womaness, and that's with one N. So if for people who are listening who want to learn more, maybe want to try some of your products, where can these women go?
Well, womaness.com. Obviously our website, and we have a lot of educational information on there as well, not just the product information and product for sale. Amazon, Ulta Beauty, select Target stores, and QVC.com.
Ah, QVC.
And, yeah,
are you going on? Are
yes,
you going on?
I've been on twice. I'm going back on in April. So excited about that. Oh, and then social media, My Womaness. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, great. Well, I am following you and excited to see what other products you still are yet to come out with. And Toby, for listeners who want to learn more about your center, about Tideline, where can they go?
Sure. Sally, I'm going to follow you too, by the way. You could go on Tideline Center for Health and Aesthetics, and it'll show you everything that we can do for you. There's more things that we didn't even discuss, like O-Shots and platelet-rich plasma treatments. And I mean, we even do some Botox and fillers if you want that. But you just call. We have a number. We'll get right back to you if someone's not available. And we'll get you in for a consultation right away.
Okay, awesome. And that is Lake Success, which is right outside New York City. So unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank both of my friends, my guests, Toby, Sally. Thank you for bringing your insights and your candor, and thank you for what you do, which is helping a lot of women well beyond the numbers that you directly reach just by virtue of having the conversation. And thank you to my producer, Jerron Ferguson. And thanks to our listeners. If you have any feedback on today's show or questions that you think of after the fact, you can always, you can email me. I'm at AIlabs@aestheticintelligence.com. If you're curious to listen to the playback, you can find it on the SiriusXM app. So thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Pauline Brown. You have been listening to The Other AI on Business Radio, SiriusXM.